You're listening to Rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary Native music exclusively at Rockwired.com. Today, Aboriginal Sounds profiles Melanie Storm and gives you a hint of her forthcoming CD, The Beginning. Stick around for more. Aboriginal Sounds is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC. A limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to the latest edition of Aboriginal Sounds, exclusively at Rockwire.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're pleased to present to you Cherokee recording artist Melanie Storm. For years, the vivacious singer has lent her chops to native rockers such as Keith Sekola and Digging Roots. Now, Storm is putting the finishing touches on her debut solo release, The Beginning, due out in spring of 2012. She is currently releasing the first single from that CD, and you'll hear that as well as an exclusive interview with Melanie very soon. First, here is Melanie Storm on the Digging Roots track, Holes.
I met a girl with a hole in her heart. Lately, it had been growing. So late one night, I took her up.
The dark.
From their CD We Are, that was Digging Roots with Holes featuring the vivacious Melanie Storm. Visit Melanie at Facebook.com. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Melanie regarding her forthcoming release, The Beginning, and here's how the interview went.
I understand you've got this new single coming out, and is there going to be a larger work in following it or anything like that?
Yes, the single's part of an album called The Beginning. And that's going to be coming out this spring, the whole full release. But there's going to be another single following it called Twist Your Head that comes out. That release date is, I think, February 1st.
I see.
And yeah, then there's going to be another single following that called Compassion, and that comes out about a month or so later.
And who are you working with in terms of production?
Well, I'm one of the producers on this, and the other producer is a man named London McDaniel. He's actually the son of Gene McDaniels, who passed recently. An amazing songwriter. He wrote and won a bunch of Grammys for work that he had done for Roberta Flack, and So he comes from this wonderful heritage of music.
And you have this, you've recorded with dozens of people. I mean, so what does it feel like being center stage this time?
I haven't really thought so much about that. For me, this is more about just taking artistic fulfillment, just like sculpting this whole project of sound from the bottom up. You know, it's just finally stepping into that place and doing due diligence first for my own vision.
Right. And talk about how music began for you. How did that start?
Well, music period or music professionally?
Period.
Music period, I actually was singing from the time I was very, very small. My mom has a beautiful voice, and she was known in our community for her voice. And so she was always asked to sing for various occasions and things. And by the time I was four, I remember I was singing harmony for my mother. It was just something that I heard. My mother didn't really know anything about harmony or anything like that. It was something that I heard. So, sorry, I have a small child here. So I was about 4 years old, and I started to just go around and sing with my mother. And people, it was pretty funny because people would hear this voice singing harmony, but they could never see where the voice was coming from because it was so little. Things like podiums and stuff like that would block me out. They didn't realize that it was the little girl, that holding her mother's hand that was actually making the other voice, and which was pretty funny. So, and I just, from that point, I mean, I just always have been very passionate about music. I've always been, it's just been such an integral part of my life. I can't imagine a world without it. I was in a private school. My parents, scraped their pennies, nickels, and dimes together to put me in a private school. And, I remember when I was in about third grade, they had these, they were starting to teach recorders in music class. And the recorders cost like $3, and I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, that's a musical instrument, because we didn't really have anything like that at home. And I was just like so excited that I was going to get to play my own musical instrument. And then my parents told me, they're like, we can't afford that. And I was just brokenhearted, but I was just like, well, maybe I can borrow somebody's during class, And I remember the first couple of weeks of the recorder program at school. I didn't have a recorder, and I had no expectation of it. But then after a few weeks, my parents like came to me, and they're like, hey, guess what we have? And, you know, and they gave me these $3 for this recorder, and I got my own recorder. And after that, there was no turning back. I played morning, noon, and night. I raced through sheets of music. The class stopped the recording sessions. I kept going. And I studied all kinds of music. I just was so music hungry. And then I switched to flute, and I played flute all the time, and just so obsessively that even though we had a flute rental program, because by that time I went to a public school and I had a flute rental program, and my flute teacher and instrumental teacher, like, they couldn't bear the thought of me being without a flute for the summer. So they would sneak me a flute so I could keep playing through the summer. I just, you know, was just obsessive about it, and I've always been just obsessive about music. So music, I just can't imagine a world or a day without it. So it's funny because in spite of that, it never occurred to me to really, really consider it as a profession. The way it landed in my lap, that it, you know, it became a profession for me, was just by fluke.
And talk about how it became a and talk about this fluke then. How did it become a profession? I mean, it's one thing to pick up the recorder and learn the flute and sing and embrace, and you surround yourself in music, but to talk about that profession, that first professional step.
It's funny because Keith Cicola has always been one of my absolute favorite native artists, and actually one of my favorite artists, period. So I was a kid, I was a teenager, and I found out that, you know, like, that Keith Cicola was going to be coming to the area that I lived in. And, you know, when you say area, you mean, like, within 3 to 4 hours. Native music is a little bit better represented these days, you know, like, being able to, you know, to get it closer to where you are, you know, and see artists closer to where you are. But not that it was that long ago. But I was thrilled, and my family, we were just like, okay, we're going to go. We found out it was at this festival, and we're like, we're going to go, and we're going to do this festival, and we'd never been to a festival before. I went to call to get information for tickets, and it turned out that the moment that I called, the ticket office was closed, and for lunch or something like that, and so the phone rang about 8 or 9 times, and then. Just when it sounded like it was going to go to voicemail, this voice picks up the phone, and it's this man named David Tidquist. And he was the promoter of the show, the whole organizer of the festival, the big festival called the Great Blue Heron Festival. It's just a really well-known, wonderful festival. Responsible for putting out a lot of different artists from, like, Rusted Roots and Annie DeFranco. And anyway... So he picks up the phone, and he was like, well, what do you need? And I said, I want to get tickets. And he's like, how old are you? And I told him, and he said, have you ever been to a festival before? And I said, no. And he goes, well, do you really know what it is? And I said, no. So he's like slightly amused, and he's chatting with me, and he goes, I can't actually sell you tickets right now because I'm not a ticket seller. And I was like, okay. And he goes, the phone was ringing, and he said, and the ticket office was closed, and he goes, I normally would walk right by, but I just had this feeling to go in and pick up the phone. And he goes, that sounds strange to you? And I was like, no, not really, you know, you have feelings sometimes. And so he goes, okay, you know. So he went and he took my name, and he said, well, what's your name? And I said, Melanie Storm, because he's going to send me a brochure. And I said, you know, and he goes, Storm, and he goes, Are you native? And I said, yeah. And he said, oh. He said, can you dance? And I said, traditional? And he goes, yes. And I said, yeah. And he said, that's so funny. And he said, Keith Sekula's dancer for the show had just called in, and they weren't going to be able, they had a family issue, and they weren't going to be able to make it for the show. And he said, would you be interested in dancing? And I said, absolutely. You know, and so like he said, okay. So he's like, this is Keith Sekula's number, and I'm going to call him and you call him, and I'm definitely not going to sell you a ticket because you may be coming for free, you know, you may be working. So I called Keith, and Keith called me back later that night. My family, we were just ecstatic. And I told him, you know, what kind of outfits I had and everything like that, and the style that I danced, and he told me what he needed me to do. And so he's like, all right, we'll meet you up in a couple of weeks. And I was like, okay. So we get there. We were staying at, we were brought to a bed and breakfast, and the venue had rented out the whole bed and breakfast for the band. And so it's huge, beautiful old bed and breakfast. And I get lost in the corridors. So the guys are going over. I remember Derek Miller, it was his first night playing in the Wild Band as well. And so everybody was going over this new song that Keith was working on called Wailing Blues. I was walking by with my sister. I remember I'm standing in my moccasins and ribbon dress because we're like really going to play in like 2 hours, not even. So I was just ready to go. And walking by the hall, and I hadn't even realized it, you know, but Keith was playing, he's playing the chords, and it had gotten kind of quiet, and the chords were echoing in the hall. So I began to sing this little blues melody, and I didn't realize that they could hear it in there. And Keith turns around. He's got very perceptive hearing. And he turns around and he goes, come in here. And I was like, okay. So I went into the room, and, you know, and he goes, all right, I'm going to play this. And he goes, and Derek, you play that. And he goes, and you sing that. And I hadn't realized that he meant for real, like not just sing it there in a little jam session, but that he meant period. And so that night, like, Gary Farmer was there, you know, just, it was really a great show. If I remember correctly, I think Ali was there, so Portafay and Jen Kreisberg, and I think they were. It was a really crazy night. Walked out on the stage that night, and after that night, I was on tour with Keith Sekula.
Amazing. That's quite an intro to the business.
yeah, it was. And, you know, and then we recorded Wailing Blues, and that was that. And I've been getting my rock and roll chops with Keith ever since.
Visit Melanie at facebook.com. Here is Melanie once again with Lenky Marsden and his single Honey.
The love you give so dreamy. gone. Pour it all, I'll make you never wanna drop the ball. You will never ever wonder if I'm meant it for real. When love's the deal, and love's the deal, there's no need to rush, we can find out in time. Keep our fingers off fate and just let it shine. There's no need to rush, we can find out in time. Keep our fingers off it and just let it. Let it.
Listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwired.com is proud to present the Rockwired Artist of the Month, Nake Nulawaun, and their new release, The Definition. Armed with a potent mixture of beats and rhymes, Nake Nulawaun issues funkified jams such as Doubt, No Rest for Them Boys, and Airborne with honesty and conviction. Without a doubt, this is one hip-hop act that is ready at all times for anything. The Definition by Nake Nulawaun. Rockwired.com's Artist of the Month. Visit the band at Facebook or ReverbNation.com. Trying to grind a diamond in the rough ain't enough, trying to shine. I'm just trying to make a living, I'm just trying to survive. A 9-to-5 ain't enough if the music is live. I just want to. With a new name, a new sound, and a new direction, Rebel 9 releases their debut CD, The Razorblade Diaries. Armed to the teeth with a potent combination of sturdy songcraft and pure rock and roll, Rebel 9 is set to turn the industry on its ear with songs such as San Jose, All I've Become, and Lay My Head. You're just a bad. The Razorblade Diaries from Rebel 9. Visit the band at www.revel9.com. Singer-songwriter Mark Anderson has seen all of life's ups and downs and has lived to sing about them on his latest release, Back from the Edge. Mark Anderson hits a nerve with a collection of gritty rock gems and backing from an impressive cast of musicians. With songs such as Dog on a Chain, Cat House Blues, and the electrifying first single, Truth Is, Back from the Edge will have you on the edge of your seat. Back from the Edge from Mark Anderson. Visit Mark at www.markandersonrocks.com. Rockwired.com proudly presents our latest weekly series, Jazzed in Blue, Profiles in Blues and Jazz, with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com. every Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Get lost in the sensual sounds of blues and jazz and get the stories behind it. Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwired Media is pleased to present a new weekly online radio series, Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary Native music. Hear the exciting sound of Indigenous America and Canada in a weekly two-hour show filled with exclusive interviews and music from Indian country's hottest recording artists. Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary Native music with your host Brian Lush, every Thursday at 5 p.m. Mountain Time exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary Native music exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for Cherokee singer-songwriter Melanie Storm, who's on the verge of releasing her forthcoming solo debut, The Beginning. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Melanie regarding the new release, and here's how the rest of the interview went.
And for this solo project that you're working on, how is the songwriting process done for that? Is it you, or are you teaming up with people to write, or how does that work?
It's mostly me, but there are a couple of pieces, like the next single that's coming out, Twist Your Head, is actually a collaboration between myself and London McDaniel. For the most part, most of the songs, and London is an amazing songwriter, prolific and amazing songwriter, for the most part, it's me. Like, I write my music and arrange it on piano or on guitar, and we go from there.
And you've mentioned Keith Sekola, obviously, as an influence for you. What other influences are there for you, musically?
Ironically, I think this is one of my strengths, but it also, I think, is one of the reasons why it took so long for me to really go, okay, this is cohesive, this is the project that I'm going to release, because my musical influences are so vast and so varied, and I know a lot of people say that, but I didn't grow up listening to any one genre of music. In fact, I wasn't really allowed to listen to music. My parents didn't play the radio, so the only music I heard was either traditional music or like old hymns or classical music, you know, that would occasionally be on, you know, on public radio. That was it, until I was like 13 or 14 years old, you know, and then I just began to listen to everything. By that time, you know, all sound was the same to me. So I listened to everything from Dead Can Dance to Kate Bush to The Police to Erykah Badu, Tribe Called Quest, Jay-Z, you name it. Like, I've listened to everything, to New Zealander artists and Japanese rock and roll. I mean, like the Bees and Poirot and Every Little Thing. Those are all bands out of Japan. And just everything, and avidly. And so my music actually comes from that huge spectrum. But a lot of people relate me to that. Like my voice, they relate it to like Regina Spektor, Erykah Badu, Janelle Monáe, Bjork, Kate Bush.
And how is being, I mean, with all these, you know, musical influences, how has being native, you know, influenced your music?
I think it actually, it comes from, I mean, that's what I am. And so it's just like there's no separating me from it, and no separating, you know, just like I think even my views, I think actually my inclusive view of music, that I just don't see the difference, you know. It's just a slide guitar should be on a hip-hop track as far as I'm concerned, period, you know. It's, you know, like Appalachian music and hip-hop go together hand in hand, you know. I think it's that inclusive, that all music is related, that that's just such an integral part of the way that I was raised, that everything is related. We're all related. We're all interconnected. You know, there isn't any space between us, you know. And that is always there in my music.
I think you kind of answered this already, but I'm going to ask the question anyway, just because I always do.
Okay.
What would you like people to come away with after they've heard your music?
I would like people to feel alive. I would like people to feel alive right in the moment that they're in. I'd like people to feel awake and energized in whatever way, whether it be just, you know, ready to jump through the roof and, you know, just have a lot of energy, to feeling energized with serenity and just feeling, you know, at peace with themselves. That's what I'd like people to come away with. I don't want them to be the same person they were when the music started.
Visit Melanie at Facebook.com. From her forthcoming CD, The Beginning, here is Melanie featuring Visual Poetics with Come and Deliver.
Shorty's very sure and steady, stormy, ready, beckoning me like spiritual lost lyricals.
Come
came
on,
through,
baby,
audible, visible.
When
I caught that signal, attraction fundamental. I wonder if she knows exactly what she's in for. Sure to shore, ladies rarely catch my eye on tour, but you done scratched the core, and that's for sure. And I ain't holding back no more. In fact, it's a struggle just to remain calm and subtle. Extending my offer, waiting for her rebuttal. It's the Pony Express, UPS man of mystery. Guaranteed results, overnight delivery.
Sugar.
that's going to do it for this edition of Aboriginal Sounds. A special thanks goes out to Melanie Storm for her time and her music, and to Tara Pretends Eagle Weber of Eagle Creek Entertainment. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Aboriginal Sounds is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. All this confusion.